whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Bruh. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Drew Aller. I don't know if you guys heard me earlier talking about Drew Aller and the rumor that he was on a boat somewhere, which was absolutely not true, but people believe anything they see on the internet. Facts don't matter anymore. Let's see. Was this caught? Yeah. With less than a minute left, Penn State stops Notre Dame from getting into field goal range where they're forced to punt the ball. And then, I'm just astonished. There's no way this kid is coming out. Because this was a terrible decision. I just was out in the newsroom talking to Zoo saying, oh, they got a shot here. They got to go for it, try and get in field goal range. I'm like, hell no, they're playing for overtime. On first down, Drew Aller throws an interception. On the Penn State 42, he looks like he's about to cry. I would cry too, because this interception, and let's see, these college kickers, we don't know how they, you know, how they're going to perform with, you know, the game on the line, a trip to the national championship on the line. But like, there's 33 seconds left. It's first down, Notre Dame. They have an opportunity to run a play, maybe two, depending on how where they throw the ball, what kind of play they run. Get in the field goal range. They're on the 42-yard line. I don't know, obviously, you know, where their kicker. Okay, they're on the 42. They got to get to the 35, I think, to be in field goal range. Look at Riley Leonard. Notre Dame has a chance to kick the field goal and win it and send themselves to the national championship. And Drew Aller, all of the talk this week about this kid coming out, this kid going to the draft, this kid being a top prospect, and like, please, everybody talking about how Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders aren't first-round grade quarterbacks, miss me with it. It's nonsense. It's fodder that comes up as we get close here between the college football season ending and the combines and the pro days and the draft. If those two guys aren't college quarterbacks, Drew Aller's stock is erased. His draft stock has completely plummeted after the mistake that he just made. 888-808-1019. I am riveted. What a college football game. 24-24 with 29 seconds left as their kicker, last name Jeter, is lining up to try and send Notre Dame back to the national championship. We're inside the 11 o'clock hour again. Update. This show goes to 1 a.m., not 2 a.m. I started around 8:30 after Rutgers football. We opened up talking about Pete Alonso. We opened up talking about how the Mets have been sending signals that they're talking to other players, whether it's free agency or trade. Tanner Scott, Alex Verdugo, Luis Arraez even popped up on the radar. And now Pete Alonso's camp is putting out things about Pete refuses to, you know, take less than a 6-year deal. And Boris is looking for the Cecil Fielder contract. I'm like, to me, that's two sides in negotiations, sending out messages that they're not willing to budge and that somebody's got to give a little bit. And I don't think either side is going to give a little bit. We started talking about arbitration, Devin Williams, Jazz Chisholm, Paul Blackburn, Tyler McGill, David Peterson, as today was the day for teams to avoid arbitration. I mentioned a rumor about Paul DeJong and the Yankees being interested in Paul DeJong. Played for the Royals last year, played for the White Sox last year. I'm like, I'm not familiar with this guy like that. I know of him, but like, I guess it's not somebody that really makes you like, oh yeah, Paul DeJong, that's the guy the Yankees should get. But it's a rumor out there as Yankee. Oh, look at this. Is that Greathouse again? Yeah, they're about to call game, baby. Look at Riley Leonard. I saw a segment on Riley Leonard earlier today that his mom texted him, you suck, before every game. And he said he needs that because people want to tell him how great he is. Well, He just made a throw right there to Greathouse that puts them in field goal position for sure. But nothing is for sure with these college kickers. You saw that with Texas and Arizona State. Nothing is for sure with these college kickers. But right now, this kid has a chance to kick the ball through the uprights and send Notre Dame back to the national championship. The Fighting Irish might be back. 888-808-1019. I'm getting there. We talked about Pete Alonso. We talked about the Yankees some. The Devils lose to the Rangers tonight. Devils were feeling pretty confident with their last two matchups against the Rangers that this would be an easy win. It was not. It was not. It was an L in overtime. I'll take the point, but Rangers fans, feel free to call up. You needed that one. Sam Carrick calls game in OT. And now, you know, we've been talking about NIL, and I just had my guy Eitan Levine in here for about an hour talking about BYU and the quarterback Jake Retzlaff, the first Jewish quarterback of BYU's football team. He calls himself the BY Jew, and they set up an NIL deal with Manischewitz for him, and he was able to go out there to the Alamo Bowl and watch Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter versus BYU. And I think Giants fans are obviously looking at both Sanders and Hunter as draft picks. Maybe Sanders falls to the Giants at 3, and then you take him as your quarterback. And if he doesn't, Travis Hunter will be the best available, the Heisman Trophy winner. Both of those kids are stars already. They will bring star power to the Giants. They will sell jerseys, and maybe the Giants select them. Maybe they don't. Maybe they trade back. But yes, that's where we're at, talking about college football as well. And probably the rest of the show, I'm going to start to lean into a Football Friday as we approach midnight and we start talking about the NFL wild card weekend news and headlines in the NFL. If you heard the update, Marco talked about how the Raiders fired their GM, Tom Telesco. I think everybody's pointing to Tom Brady's influence and trying to get Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick was spotted today in New Jersey at Bergen Catholic and Don Bosco on the recruiting trail. The Athletic reported that Bill Belichick is committed to UNC, but money talks, and who knows. If they're getting rid of the head coach and the GM, and they didn't even do it on Black Monday, they gave it a day to get rid of Pierce, and they gave it, you know, 4 days to get rid of Telesco, maybe they're opening the door up for Bill Belichick to go to Vegas. And, yeah, last but not least, you also probably heard with the wildfires going on out in L.A., they have moved the game to Arizona. And Monday night, the Vikings will face the Rams in the home of the Cardinals. It's wide open for sports conversations. Usually when I do the 5-hour KM to AM, the 11 o'clock hour is open mic time. We'll keep it open until this show ends with an extra hour at 1 a.m. I am waiting to see this kick go through the uprights before I take a call. 888-808-1019. He's done it. Wow. Jeter for the win. With 7 seconds left, Notre Dame takes the lead 27-24. I told you all week, I'm taking Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman and the Fighting Irish are on their way back to the national championship. Josh is in the Bronx. What's up, Josh? You're on the Fan.
Yeah, Keith, you know, this game, like you are always saying, you know, this Notre Dame and Penn State game, you, like I was just telling Connor, man, you've got some hidden gems, man, like you're always saying, stay low until you come up and everything. You know, this is going to be an exciting draft to see what happens. There are some gems in that draft, man, that are just waiting to be picked. People who haven't heard about these people that are playing to these colleges and everything, such as a Notre Dame, et cetera, and everything. You know where I'm going with this. Thank you for taking my call, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Yeah, before the game, you know, you might have saw Micah Parsons out there with Abdul Carter. Abdul Carter, if you look on tankathon.com, is projected to go number 7 overall to the Jets. He's a linebacker, edge rusher. Micah Parsons is ridiculous. He just put out on Twitter that, oh, me and Abdul Carter got to play together in the NFL. I don't think he'll be available at 12 when the Dallas Cowboys are picking. But, yeah, stay down till you come up. You Fighting Irish fans, which there's a ton of Notre Dame fans. They're a national brand. They, you know, played on NBC for so long, and they're an independent team, and they've got so much history, and the Rudy movie. Like, how could you not like the Golden Domers, the Fighting Irish? They're back in the national championship, man. It's great. In the first year of the expanded college football playoff, they've done it. It's a great story. And Penn State, they'll be back. They'll be back. But Drew Aller, all of that hype, all that hype about Drew Aller all week and what's he going to do in this game. And if, you know, he has a great game in this game, it's going to propel him to the top of the draft. Nope, that's done. Young Max is in Jersey City on the Fan in New York. What's up, man?
Hey, Keith, how are you doing?
Good. Enjoying the games tonight. Not so much the Devils-Rangers game, but this one was better.
Yeah, so do you think the Rangers will get back on track? They're only 4 points behind the wild card.
I think it's January 9th. I think that's one that rallies the troops. You got Shesterkin back. You go and beat a rival at home in front of your fans. If there ever was a time to get back on your horse, now's the time.
And the past two games, they've like gone to overtime. They're making it more competitive. The games are like more tight now, more
competitive, getting points. Like they're alive, yeah. They're alive, and I know a lot of us wrote them off, left them for dead, and you can't do that in January. There's a lot of hockey left.
So, do you still think they're going to be trading these players away? How they're doing now?
I think they can, but like it's about the locker room. It's about these guys. I think they got to get a feel for things. It's about Peter Laviolette. They got to see what they actually have here and what's actually out there for trades. They got to try and improve the team. It can't just be punting on the season, getting rid of guys. I think they might be looking to add some players.
Okay, thank you. That's it. I wanted to know.
Thanks for the call, Max. 888-808-1019. Something I love about sports, man. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. I could watch and like Notre Dame celebrating like they won the whole thing. But, I mean, they should be celebrating. They're going to a championship. Everybody's running on the field. And the Penn State kids are dejected. I could watch this forever. The post-game stuff. Shout out to Marcus Freeman. This is a guy they wanted to run out of there. This is a guy that they did not want to give time. Marcus Freeman, 14 wins is a school record. He's brought Notre Dame back to the championship. I was talking to Connor about him. I'm like, you know, the first thing I noticed about this guy was that he's a player's coach. How much the players loved him when they announced him. How much the players rallied around him. How much the guy loves Notre Dame. And, you know, I talked about Brian Kelly. And I'm like, Brian Kelly's the opposite of that, you know. Like, you need a guy like that with these young players now and these young players that are getting paid like professionals now. You need somebody that they can connect to. And clearly, he's connected to these kids. 888-808-1019. And I know there's a recruiting trail. There's a pipeline from Jersey out to Notre Dame. So, you know, you can expect to see some Jersey kids playing for the Fighting Irish in the near future.
They lost to Northern Illinois in their second game of the year, and now they're playing in the national championship.
Yeah, and that game was a rock fight. I remember that and being like, what a joke. NIU. They lost to NIU, and I remember the head coach of NIU coming out saying, oh, I want to talk to Marcus Freeman. I want to help him. I could tell him, you know, what they're doing wrong, what, you know, we were able to expose in film. And then Marcus Freeman, as motivation to humble his team after beating Georgia, showed him the film from NIU. Like, yo, remember, like, you guys can be beat by anybody. And obviously they're taking a step up in weight class facing a Penn State team. But he showed them the video and the film from them losing to NIU in their own stadium just to kind of bring them back down to earth to be like, hey, this happened a few months ago. Don't let it happen again. And now they're playing for a national championship. This kid, Riley Leonard, a Duke transfer, he's not going to wow you with his arm. He's not going to wow you with his athleticism. He's more of just like a big boy that will compete. He'll run the ball. He'll make some throws, he'll make some mistakes, but ultimately he's a winner, and he's got Notre Dame back in the championship. 888-808-1019. I know you guys don't want to talk college football much, but hell, I will. My guy Ray out in Brooklyn, back on the Fan.
My D. Keith, good evening, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm hanging in there, man.
I hear that, brother. I hear that's what we could ask for. Listen, I have two topics in mind today, because I know you were just discussing, even though I'm a Yankees fan, and hey, everybody's aware of that, Pete Alonso is an issue I wanted to touch on. And the other one is the Knicks because they got a big game ahead coming tomorrow, Friday night, Knicks with OKC. So let me start with Pete Alonso. Me and myself and C Mac ruffled a couple of Mets fans' feathers the other day when we said, "What the hell is going on?" And I never thought I would root for Pete Alonso or, you know, or like say anything in favor of the guy because the Mets were selling him as bigger and better than Aaron Judge. But now all of a sudden, that fake narrative that they have about treating everyone like family and going above and beyond, it's a one-off. It's BS. What they're treating Pete Alonso like complete dirt, like a stepchild. No, he would love to be treated like a stepchild. He's being treated like an orphan, but not family. So, like, come on, man. The guy is averaging 41 homers, 120 RBIs in the last 5 years or something like that. Supposedly, he had a down year with 34.90. But look at what other guys like Bregman, who I alluded to yesterday, the guy's hitting 24, 26 home runs. And he wants 8 years. He'll probably get something closer to what he's asking for than Pete Alonso. I don't understand all the hate for Pete Alonso, right? The guy is the one who brought the Mets back to relevancy. He's the, you know, he was the face of the franchise. Before this season started, everybody said it's Pete Alonso, not Lindor. So where, among the fan base and the ownership, where the hell is the loyalty and family mentality? Because that's just a one-off for Juan
Ray,
Soto, and every other free agent is noticing this.
Ray, you know that was just more Boris rhetoric that was just taught to Soto for the press conference, right? Like, they couldn't go into that press conference and have Juan Soto say, "Hey, I took the most money." So he practiced for a week talking about family and a family environment, and the Mets made me feel like family, and you know what? My whole family and the Supreme Court of Soto, they gave my family what they want, and the Mets really care about family. That was all just more Boris Korp classes. That was just rehearsed and spit out by Juan Soto, and now you're seeing how they're treating one of their own that was actually like under their roof, like actually grew up as a Met in their organization, family. He's not family anymore. He's a free agent. And the funny thing is, he's also Boris Korp.
Yeah, no. He's Little Orphan Annie, or in this case, Little Orphan Petey now. And so is Mr. OMG himself, because he had a great year for them last year. I mean, you know, he, in many ways, he brought a lot of great publicity and attention to the Mets, and they haven't signed him either. So if you're they're throwing this narrative, because the Mets leaned into it too, not just Soto and Boris. The Mets totally leaned into it as a fan-based organization. So now,
well, yeah,
you know,
because there was a BS story out there about how the Yankees didn't treat Soto's family correctly, and that his mom got turned away, and something happened with his dad and his driver and his chef, and then Juan Soto came out and said that wasn't true.
Yeah, no, that was total BS, man. That's another, like, you know, that's Juan Soto or somewhere. I don't know who the hell started that. But as far as the Knicks, right? I heard C-Mac talking about, that Cat, Carl Anthony Towns, and he does deserve all of the praise. I'm a big fan of Cat. I wanted him to come here. And I actually think he was Wally Pipped out there in Minnesota when he got hurt. They gave the keys and the organization over to Anthony Edwards. But I think C-Mac was a little off base. I'm going to try to call him later, too, because, like, you know, he's like, hey, you know, he's way more valuable than Jalen Brunson. Let me just make a case for Brunson. I shouldn't have to. The guy's averaging 25-8, 2.3 turnovers. But he's the lowest turnover superstar in the league. You look at guys like Luka. You look at Giannis. You look at Jokic. They all average 4 turnovers a game. And Keith, let me just say this. Look how much better. He's a force multiplier. Look how much better Carl Anthony Towns is playing around Jalen Brunson than he was with Anthony Edwards. Look how much worse Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle have gotten playing over there in Minnesota. I mean, Jalen Brunson is, like, you know, the identity of the team. He's selfless. He's making his teammates better. He always has. So I don't understand how anybody on the Knicks is more valuable. To me, you know, it's kind of like neck and neck. I don't want to put down Carl Anthony Towns, but the other day he came out and said he's exhausted. Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart 2 days later said, hey, we don't say we're tired around here. So, like, you know, those are the guys who make up the makeup and the fabric of the team, the culture, and he's thriving in this culture because of Jalen Brunson and Tom Thibodeau. Every time you bring in a guy who hasn't been that good somewhere else, like DiVincenzo and Josh Hart and even Towns, who was, you know, a shell of himself in Minnesota, they get better with Brunson and Thibodeau. So I don't understand how people are going to go out there and kill Brunson because he's sacrificing part of his game. He's still shooting 48% from the...
Thanks for the call, Ray. It's simple. The state of the Knicks, the current identity of the Knicks, they seem to be able to survive with Brunson getting a rest. Not really. But the state of the Knicks now with Karl-Anthony Towns, what he's able to do, scoring the ball, passing the ball, being the like center of attention, without him the other night against the Orlando Magic, it was panic time. And I think what a lot of people started to see was, okay, now this version of the Knicks, not Julius Randle, not DiVincenzo, not the Knicks that Brunson is scoring 40 a night, without Karl-Anthony Towns, when we're talking about who's most valuable to the team and them going somewhere this year, without Karl-Anthony Towns, they're not going anywhere. Like, if Karl-Anthony Towns is actually hurt and misses time, they don't have a shot. You know, I don't know, man. They're both valuable. You can't go from chanting MVP for Brunson, and then, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns doesn't play against the Magic, and they got God a little bit. It is what it is. They need both of them. They actually need more than both of them. They need a bench. 888-808-1019. I'm running out of time. I got 90 minutes left. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Yeah. Right back at it on the Fan in New York a little bit after 11:30 p.m. on January 9th. Notre Dame advances to the title game. South Bend, the Fighting Irish, about to play for the chip. Congrats to Marcus Freeman, Riley Leonard, all those guys, man. The college football playoff has been great. I know people were talking about, the teams that got a bye all got washed and that first round wasn't competitive. I like how it's shaking out. I like that this week we have two games. I think Ohio State ends up beating Texas, and then Ohio State ends up beating Notre Dame. And how great would that be for Ohio State after losing to Michigan and all that talk about firing their coach? Like, there was a little talk about Ryan Day being fired and Mike Vrabel taking that job. We're going to start getting to the conversation around the coaching interviews as Mike Vrabel completed an interview with the New England Patriots today. Obviously, he interviewed with the Jets. He also interviewed with the Bears. And I don't think he's going to take another interview. I just think that he's going to... I think I joked after Pep Hamilton and Byron Leftwich were interviewed by the Patriots on like Tuesday. I'm like, oh, they're moving quickly here. They're going to announce Vrabel by Friday. 888-808-1019. I didn't get to watch Yankees Hot Stove tonight because I was watching all this stuff. There's so much sports on. The sports are sportsing. I see my guy Dave Sims on in the production room with Connor. I guess Dave Sims was a guest on Yankees Hot Stove. I had to go home and watch that on demand tonight. We'll get to the Yankees calls. We've really been talking Mets, though, for the most part tonight. Pete Alonso and just how far we've gotten into free agents. Like, remember Evan Roberts growing out his beard? Why did Evan Roberts grow that beard? That was for Pete Alonso to get an extension. Imagine if he kept growing that beard out to this point. Nah, there's no way. No, he'd look like Robin Williams in Jumanji, or I don't even know. he couldn't keep growing that beard for Pete Alonso to get an extension to get paid. The Mets aren't interested in doing that. Dale's in Rockaway, New York. Dale, you're on the Fan.
Yo, what's good, man? What's good?
What's good? You got it?
All right, listen, man. I just left the gym, and then I turned on the call, and I think his name was Manny, was having a meltdown, bro, just now, over Pete Alonso, and I'm like, what the heck? You know what I mean? But to Manny, right? I just want to let you know, bro, you got to stay out of grown folks' business, man. What the Mets and Pete Alonso doing with each other? That's your business. You a Yankee fan, bro. You know what I'm saying?
I think, like, you're talking about Ray. Ray in Brooklyn.
Yeah. You a Yankee fan, bro. What? Pimp Steve, right? And
the man from Milwaukee, how they treat.
Oh, we lost you, Dale. You still there?
Oh, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
I said, what the Pimp Steve and the man from Milwaukee is doing with their own players, it's not your business. We wasn't upset when y'all let Robinson Cano go to, like, Seattle or something. That's grown folks' business. That's all I got to say. And by the way, one more thing. Every night I turn you on because, you know, you're my man, right? And every night I hear a Yankee fan talking about, we still the big brother and all that. Listen, we took one player from y'all, and y'all having, like, a meltdown, bro. It's one player. We don't want to be the big brother. We want to be the rich brother. And that's what we are right now, the rich brother.
Thanks for the call, Dale. The richer brother, brother with the deeper pockets. Heard you. Yeah, I have been taking calls from Yankee fans now that we're in 2025 and we're getting a little bit closer. We're inching closer day by day to the season starting where we'll actually get to see Juan Soto in that Mets uniform. It's going to hurt some Yankee fans. And I'm taking calls every night, and it seems like they're coming out of nowhere. I'm not calling for them. I'm not stirring the pot. But as Yankee fans calling up, the Mets not going to win anything. The Mets, like, I don't know what it is. I do know what it is. It's still hard to process. It's still hard to believe. It's still hard to imagine Juan Soto in the pinstripes walking away from him to go to the Mets. It happened. It's reality. So what? And, yeah, we'll see what happens with Pete Alonso. I just ultimately think that Pete is not a fool. I don't think he'll have foolish pride. I don't think that he will run away for a couple dollars more elsewhere, being in New York all these years and understanding how much money he can make as a forever Met, as a legacy Met. I also think after he helped this team go on that magic carpet ride to the NLCS and same team adds Juan Soto, he's going to want to be a part of that. 888-808-1019. I met this guy. I don't know if he's listening. I'm sorry, bro. I was in Hudson Yards in an office. I think his name is Mike. Maybe I'm just using Mike. But, you know, he said he's a Nets fan. But he's so down on the Nets right now that he's having fun watching the Knicks. And he used a phrase for the Knicks that I had never heard. I'm sure somebody else has used it before, but I'm going to use it now. I'm going to give him credit for it. He's like, the Knicks, they wear blue and orange. They're like the winter Mets. So I don't feel bad rooting for them. Yeah, I'm like, okay, yeah, blue and orange in New York. I guess you got the Islanders, you got the Mets. And I mean, who's rooting for the Islanders right now? The Knicks are the winter Mets. Bruce is in Howell next up on the fan. What's up, Bruce?
Yeah, no, the man, I was going to shut down Isaacson. Yeah, what's up, Keith?
What up?
Yeah, what's up? First of all, hockey to you. Rangers showed who was boss of the town over here tonight. I like that.
Well, yeah, good for you guys. One of the worst teams in the league getting off the mat at home.
This is the year. You know, we're going to sneak in and we're going to do some damage, y'all.
Okay,
Keith, you know
okay. Keep the vibes going.
Okay, quick question. Unfortunately, I have to deal with some stupid Eagle fans with me over here. And my question to you is, if the Eagles lose to Green Bay, should Sirianni be fired?
I think they would fire him. I think they could fire him. I think they can fire him, but they probably
I don't understand.
Won't.
The Eagle fans are sucking up to Sirianni. He hasn't done anything. It's a great team. Jeff Stallone, the best offensive line coach in football. They have three All-Famers on that offensive line, four Pro Bowlers, right? And they have a great team. Sirianni hasn't done anything.
And they have a good staff. Something that was very telling was when Jalen Carter got penalized some weeks ago and Nick Sirianni wanted to kind of talk to him on the sideline, and the defensive line coach for the Eagles got in between the two and said, "Nah, you're not talking to my guy." I'm like, what the hell? Like, that's
yeah,
not how
they
the
don't
chain...
trust him. He's a little kid out there.
Yeah, like, that's not how the
NFL
chain
coach.
Of command
on,
works.
Bring...
Like, there's a hierarchy here. Like, the defensive line coach can't tell the head coach, "You're not talking to my player." All these players are my players.
Exactly. Bring the adult in the room. Sirianni's not a Super Bowl winning coach. And to the Knicks, you know, it's not about who's good. Yeah, Brunson's good. It's about who makes a play. Who's going to make that play in the fourth quarter? It's about who makes plays. Not about who's good. It's about who makes plays.
Sure. And now I think you're looking at Karl-Anthony Towns as the guy to make those plays
when it's crunch time, when it's winning time to have the
ball.
Women's
got to grab boards. Yeah.
You know, but I was looking back because I'm like, all right, I understand the point. And I was listening to Big Mac show a little bit, and I understand where Ray was coming from. You know, Brunson sat out against the Utah Jazz, and the Knicks were able to survive that game and get the win. Obviously, different team, different, you know, schedule. A couple games go by, and Karl-Anthony Towns got the knee, and he sits out against the Magic, and they lose to the Magic, worst loss of the year. And it's like, oh, my God, what are we going to be without Karl-Anthony Towns? He's the MVP. He's so valuable to this team. The team's a shell of themselves without him.
Yeah, they had no effort in that game. I'm saying JB's chilling right now. He's waiting for the playoffs. Come playoff time, hopefully, whatever. They don't lose that game last year.
They need the All-Star break. It's coming up in a month.
Yeah. I'm saying, well, Cat's bowling out these days. I think Brunson, as far as I'm concerned, Brunson's not really going all out right now. And they win that game last year. They win that game last year with Brunson. But it's very simple. It's going to come down to the Knicks making plays. OG Anunoby's going to have to make plays down the stretch in the fourth quarter. Clippin's got to grab boards, and that's it. We're going to beat them. You know what I'm saying? All right, Keith, thanks for the call.
You got it. 888-808-1019. Ultimately, you need the All-Star break. You need rest for guys that play 40-plus minutes a night. And you need a bench. You need more bodies. You need to make some trades. But as I was opening up the show last night and I was talking about how, you know, Oklahoma City and even Cleveland, those number one teams that were on a collision course last night, a 15-win team, a 10-win team, and how they have some core players and pieces that they drafted. The Nets have some players that they drafted, but they always try to skip the line and go get the free agents or make the big trade, and it blows up in their face. And now this Knicks team is fun. This Knicks team is successful. This Knicks team is a winner, but will they be another second-round exit with a starting five of guys that they did not draft? As I'm looking at IQ and RJ last night, as I'm looking at former Knicks that were on the team that were drafted, that were thought, you know, to be cornerstones and pieces of the franchise that they kind of kicked to the curb, and then you've got all these guys now trying to gel and play together. Another thing that I noticed about OKC and Cleveland, I'm like, they have guys that have played together for 3-4 years. It's going to take 3-4 years for this Knicks team to gel and have the chemistry to knock off some of the other teams just in the East. And that's it. That's the window. The window for the Knicks to win a championship right now is 3 to 4 years. 888-808-1019. Man, we're talking about everything. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call me up. I'll be right back.